Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. I'm C.A. Brooks, and you are listening to the Friday Morning Show on 12 Radio, changing the way we experience life and spirituality. Today is January 5th, 2018. Welcome to the new year. It's so exciting to be back, and I know that we will be having a lot of changes this year, maybe even in this time slot. I keep debating whether or not to make this a weekly show. So any feedback you could give me on that regard would be really wonderful. I'm still just debating whether or not to do that and some of the things that we can do with this particular time slot, because as of now, I'm doing every other week. I'm doing the first and the third Friday of the month. But hopefully maybe that will change. And we may even change the name of it, because truthfully, when I do this show, it's always about spirituality. It's always about A Course in Miracles, which is very near and dear to my heart. So we may actually be changing the name. We'll see, because, you know, it's a new year. That's the time to kind of initiate some new things, to take some new actions. And those of you who follow me on Simple Tales and looking at astrology, there's no better time than to take action than when we've got Saturn sitting in Capricorn for 2.5 years. So keep it tuned to 12 Radio, and let's figure out what's going to go on here today. And, you know, through the next year. And to those of you who are already in over on Facebook, welcome. Good morning, Renee. Thanks for being there and or being here, I should say. And for the rest of you, if you would like to join us during this live show during Facebook, and that means you're listening on Friday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, you can join us by going over to 12radio.com. And you're going to see a link that says chat. And when you click that link, you'll automatically be redirected over to Facebook, where you can ask to join the group if you've never joined before. And speaking of 12 Radio, I know that many of you know this because you were probably here bright and early on Monday morning, or rather Tuesday morning, you know, for our first shows of the year. And there was a little confusion because over those holidays, we made some changes and we changed the platform on which we were broadcasting. And I'm not quite sure how this happened. I'm sure it has to do with just, you know, scheduling over the holidays, but we literally had some encore presentations on one platform, and we had the live shows on a second one. And so people were really confused as to where they could find the live shows. All of those are being updated. If you listen through the Amazon Echo, if you listen through your app on your phone, those are all being updated. But meanwhile, you can always listen if you go over to our website, that 12radio.com, and click listen, or you can download the app of 365 Live Radio. And in fact, that information is over in the chat room if you want to check that out. So if you're having problems connecting, and of course, if you're listening to this, then you probably don't, but you could be listening to this as an encore or in the archives and wondering, what the heck, how come I didn't hear this show live? So that's the way you can do it. And like I said, I promise that as we get into the new year, all those updates will be done and there will be no more confusion, or at least when it comes to radio, there will be no more confusion. In our lives, I think there's going to be lots of confusion, which kind of brings me to our topic today. My guest is Susan Dugan, who facilitates ACIM study groups here in Denver and has written a number of books on forgiveness. And as we were discussing what is the topic, usually she has something and just says, oh, I really want to talk about this. And she goes, well, I'm not sure. She goes, CA, why don't you come up with a topic? And I didn't have to look very far to come up with one, because it just seems like this is something that my heart, my mind always goes back to in terms of A Course in Miracles. And that is the idea of judgment. And it really was precipitated, actually, in a conversation I was having with somebody. And it seemed like a pretty innocuous conversation. But somehow I made what I would consider maybe a snide remark, you know, one of those kind of disparaging remarks about family or friends or whatever. You know, I made some snide remark about somebody. And he responded to me. He said, well, how would your life be different if you just, you know, pretended, or I don't know exactly how he said it. He goes, how would life be different if you decided to see that person as not needing to be fixed? That, you know, you don't have to do anything, that maybe they're on the perfect curriculum. Maybe they don't, you know, maybe you don't need to do anything, or maybe you don't need to see this situation as being broken. And even though that's an idea, it's not new. I mean, how many philosophers, how many, you know, even religious groups have talked about that? You know, I talk about it a lot with A Course in Miracles, but you know, it's still, when he said that, it was like a breath of fresh air. You know, it's almost like an unburdening off my shoulders. What if I didn't see this situation as being needing to be healed, needing to be fixed, needing to be different? Which brought me right back to that idea of judgment, because I say this a lot during this show and just in my life in general. I often refer to A Course in Miracles and the Manual for Teachers, section number 10, the relinquishment of judgment, because the first time I read that section in the Manual for Teachers, I literally burst out laughing, because it said, don't judge because it's the wrong thing to do. Don't judge because you're not very good at it. And I mean, and Susan is laughing in the background, as you should. I mean, I remember that just smacked me in the face and I said, what? And so this whole section really, I mean, there are several themes that go through this particular section, but a lot of them just have to do with, you know what, guys, you're just not very good at judgment, because you don't have nearly the information to decide what somebody else's personal earth curriculum is. You don't have nearly the information to decide whether or not this is good or bad or ugly or beautiful or anything else. So why don't you just admit that you're not very good at judgment and let it go? And, you know, as I read this section, no matter how many times I read this section or study this section or look at this section, I literally physically get this sense of relief. I mean, I literally, I can just feel myself breathing easier when I read this section, because it's like, and why do I keep forgetting? Why do I keep forgetting that I'm not very good at judgment? I keep practicing. Lord knows I keep practicing judgment, and I don't get any better at it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And so if you would like to, you can, you know, if you have the Manual for Teachers, which is one of the books that comes with A Course in Miracles, sometimes if you have one of the later editions, it's literally the end of the book, because they're all put together. I mean, they're all consolidated into one book. But go to the Manual for Teachers and look at that question number 10, which is, how can judgment be relinquished? Because that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to read today. And also, if you are fortunate enough to be somehow connected to the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, I literally have all the discs in which Ken Wapnick is talking about them. And so I go back and I listen to that section. I also, you know, through the foundation, you can also get a book that is Ken, you know, talking basically the same thing about the Manual for Teachers or about the text or about the workbook. So I'll tell you what, he is my go-to teacher. He really is. And so I always go back to him, and there again, I think he's very funny just because he tells it to you straight. So some of the stuff I'll be sharing today is undoubtedly things that I've learned from him. But let's get Susan on the air. And like I said, Susan is a facilitator here in Denver, Colorado, where she teaches and facilitates discussion groups on A Course in Miracles. She's also the author of 3 books on forgiveness. So Susan, welcome and thanks for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And yeah, how different would my life be if I could somehow remember, somehow realize that, you know what, maybe I don't know it all.
Well, yeah, I mean, not only is the Course saying that we're not very good at judgment, it's saying that we're incapable of judgment. So I like the way you sugarcoated that, but
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is that we're, you know, we really are not even capable of judgment, because – well, judgment is never justified because it implies duality. I mean, we think we're here in this dream of, you know, others duking it out to prove that we're more innocent than someone else. You know, that's basically what everyone here is trying to do. And we're wrong about that. And so, you know, you actually touched on a couple of points in your introduction of this, that, you know, the Course really speaks on 2 levels, though. It does meet us where we think we are. And so where we think we are here in the dream, you know, that's the point that it's making in this section in the manual, How is Judgment Relinquished, where it tells us that, you know, we can't judge because we don't have all the information and we don't know, you know, all of the various different scripts that people have chosen throughout the dream of separation that seems to take place over time, but the Course also says on another level is already over, you know, has never even happened. So, but within that, you know, since we are still convinced that it's happening, and it's happening to me always, that's the problem, and it's happening right now, you know, what we're here to learn is that that we really can't judge within that, but there is a part of our mind that can be a lucid dreamer for us, that can be, you know, that is aware that it's only a dream, and is aware that everyone in it is, you know, that I think is the problem, is really just a part of my mind. You know, as I remember Ken Wapnick clearly saying in one of his wonderful seminars on a CD that I heard, that, you know, everyone in your dream is you. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's true on a psychological level, that, you know, that's ultimately literally true for us in our waking dream as well. You know, everyone out there is a part of my belief in separation, is a projected part of the guilt that I feel over that belief, taking that tiny mad idea seriously. So there really is no basis, you know, judgment truly on the most fundamental metaphysical level is never justified because there's no one out there. Right. So, but on a practical level here, you know, where we're faced, where it seems as if we're faced with judgment all the time, and as you were talking about, where very often, you know, we feel that we're helping by in the ways that we judge, you know, that someone else is in need of something that we can help with, that we have an answer for someone, or that we could help fix them or change them or put them on the right path, you know, when we find ourselves faced with that sort of situation, we're just, you know, that is also a form of judgment where, as you say, we don't really know what their larger, what Ken used to refer to as their atonement path is, you know, how the ways that they will dream their way home. and sometimes that, you know, in form, the Course is never about giving validity to form. You know, the form may look very dire, but it may be exactly what that part of the dreaming mind needs to ultimately, you know, get them to connect with the part of our mind that is whole and help them find their way home. So that's not up to us to judge. We can't even judge our own atonement path, you know. We don't even know what's really always right for us. You know, we often conclude on the basis of form, because we're so identified with our bodies, that something, you know, that seems to be very negative happening in our lives is a horrible thing. And it may actually be, you know, it may actually be something that is really helping us take another step toward healing our mind. And so the answer always from the Course's perspective is to connect with the part of our mind that does know, and to kind of step aside from judgment. When we catch ourselves judging anything, to just realize, you know, it's okay if we're upset. It's okay if we're feeling panicky about whatever the situation is. We're in fear, you know, all of the emotions that come up. It's okay to have those. The Course is not saying to deny what we're feeling, but to use those feelings as a clue that we've forgotten the part of our mind that is whole, and that we need help, that we're wrong. And as soon as we can step aside and just remember again that judgment is never justified, I must be wrong, we've opened the door to that part of our mind, the right mind, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. You know, the Course uses several symbols for that part of our mind, but it's really just this light in our mind that has never stopped shining and knows that everything is really ultimately fine. And we're safe, and everyone is held in the you know, everyone makes it home, right. Including us, including those we're worried about. And you know, like you said, I loved the way I'm not sure exactly how you put it, but what if nothing's broken here?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that's the problem, is that we believe everything's broken here. We believe the mind was shattered over our choice to separate from God, and that it had real effects, and we're wrong.
Right. You know? And, you know, as this one points out, it says, you know, from any given day, you have a different perception. One day this seems right, and the next day this seems wrong or it seems bad. And I think, you know, it's not hard for me to resonate with this particular passage or for this particular section because it's so true. In fact, just last night I was thinking about this. I was reading reviews of this piece of exercise equipment that I bought last year, and I have just, like, used it to death. I mean, I've used it every single day and have just really loved it and have often thought, boy, if I break this, I'm just going to buy another one because it has been so worth it. But the one thing that I have found on this is that I don't think the instructions were really good. And so, like, for instance, when I wanted to replace the springs for some stronger springs, you know, to get more resistance, I must have spent 10 or 15 minutes really physically trying to get those springs on when all of a sudden I looked and I went, oh, you're supposed to just slip it through here. So in other words, I was doing it wrong. I was doing it totally the wrong way and was making it really, really difficult and even saying to myself, why would they make this so difficult? Why would they do this? And when I stop and ask myself, why would they make this so difficult is when I realize they wouldn't. You know, they wouldn't make this difficult to do. But anyway, so all of a sudden I'm just laughing at myself going, oh my God, why'd you spend all that time and, you know, energy trying to force this when there was an easy solution. But when I went on the website, I was noticing too, there were lots and lots of negative reviews. And you know what they were saying? How difficult it was to put those springs on. And it just kind of reminded me that, you know, there again, there's all these negative reviews and I have to say it was user error. It was on my part. And so I think they're doing the same thing. You know, we think, and what does it have to do with? I think I know better than them. So why would I read the directions? You know, why would I read the directions when I can just look at it and figure it out? But obviously I couldn't. And so in life, there are so many times, and it comes out in this section, you know, you think you're right. You always think you're right. You think you have all the information. We have a vested interest in being right or in having good judgment. And most of the time, it just doesn't even occur to us that we're wrong. And so when I read that, I go, yeah, in my everyday life, I can see so many examples of where I think I'm right and I'm not. And so this shouldn't be so difficult of a concept to go, you know what, guys? You really don't have all the information. So why don't you just give up what you're not good at?
Yes, exactly. And I love the user error idea because, you know, I mean, that kind of speaks metaphorically to the Course is always saying that what Jesus is trying to get us to do as our inner teacher is to change the purpose of our dream, the purpose of our lives from a prison of, you know, of judgment and specialness and special relationships in which we're always vying again to try to prove our greater innocence compared to someone else's greater guilt to a classroom in which we're learning from him to allow him to undo the belief, you know, the underlying guilt that is being expressed in my life in all these punishing, difficult ways, right? Mm-hmm. And so, can I just read part of this to
absolutely
you know, where
in fact,
he really?
I wanted to read it, and we
yeah.
Get
there's
off
a couple
talking.
Of places here that I had, you know, I have them like highlighted and underlined and starred. But in paragraph two, he starts out. I'm going to read a little bit and talk about it, but it is necessary for the teacher of God to realize not that he should not judge, but that he cannot. In giving up judgment, he is merely giving up what he did not have. He gives up an illusion, or better, he has an illusion of giving up. He has actually merely become more honest. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do, to start paying attention again to our reactions and to start, you know, catching ourselves and saying, wait a minute. If I believe, if I'm a student of A Course in Miracles and a dedicated one, and this is my chosen spiritual path, and the Course is saying that there's ultimately nothing out there, then what's going on right now? You know, there must be something. You know, I'm definitely choosing. I must be wrong. I'm choosing against where I think I want to go, and so I need help. You know, and So he goes on to say, recognizing that judgment was always impossible for him, he no longer attempts it. Well, we change our mind, right? We're not there yet at the top of the ladder where we no longer attempt it, but we recognize that we're wrong, you know, and are willing, have the willingness to defer to a teacher within that's right. And then he says, this is no sacrifice. On the contrary, he puts himself in a position, he, the student, where judgment through him rather than by him can occur. And this judgment is neither good nor bad. It is the only judgment there is, and it is only one. God's Son is guiltless, and sin does not exist. And, you know, Jesus is saying everything else is a lie. So right. If I'm seeing a problem, you know, in myself or anyone else that needs fixing, and I'm feeling all that urgency of the ego to jump in and solve this on a level of form, then I know I must be wrong and I need help. You know, that's my clue that I really need help. That doesn't mean that we give up from ever doing anything in the world at all, but it means we do it, you know, which teacher do we do it with, the ego or Jesus, Holy Spirit? And if we're willing to open the door to step away from the ego's, you know, frantic need to fix, and even for a moment, I mean, it doesn't take long to do that, and to open the door to Jesus's quiet answer that all is well, and that you know, that nobody is really guilty or in real danger here, then we've opened the door to whatever solution, if there is one, in form that might be the most helpful and kind to everyone concerned. But we wouldn't have any neediness for someone to do what we wanted them to do. We wouldn't have any neediness for something to turn out a certain way. It would be a peaceful kind of, you know, just being in the moment and allowing the giving of our right mind to flow through us.
Yes.
So absolutely. One more sentence after that. The aim of our curriculum, unlike the goal of the world's learning, is the recognition that judgment in the usual sense is impossible. This is not an opinion, but a fact. So, you know, again, you know, when we're in conflict, that's our signal to, you know, that should be what kind of stops us. And says, wait a minute, you know, we need to say, step back and say, you know, I must be wrong here. I need help. I'm trying to do this by myself, which means I'm trying to do it with the ego, and it's not going to turn out well.
Right.
You know, I mean, and in terms of, and again, not in form. In form is irrelevant. When I say it won't turn out well, it won't be peaceful. Whatever happens, will still the conflict will never get resolved.
Right.
You know, and that's really what we're trying. You know, isn't that what we really want? Is to let the fear and the guilt and the conflict go? You know, I mean, wouldn't that be nice if we could go through anything the world dishes up? And God knows it's dishing. It seems to be dishing up a constantly accelerated, you know, video game these days of threats, right?
Right.
And in our personal lives and the greater collective. And you know, but wouldn't it be nice if we really could choose peace instead of this?
Mm-hmm.
It is there. I mean, it's within all of us, you know, and it includes everyone. And everybody's eligible. We don't have to, there's nothing we have to do to prove it, that we deserve it.
right.
You know, it's our inheritance, the Course says. And it's not based on behavior in the world. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and throughout this section, I mean, and maybe I'm kind of jumping around, but it, as you read through this section, and I'm thinking back to some of the things Ken said, you know, in many ways, you know, he very much echoes what I would say is what we always say about the new year. Let's simplify our lives. Mm-hmm. Let's make this easier. And he says, you know what? Give up the judgment. And there again, turn to your inner guide and teacher.
Yes.
and let all understanding or perception be coming through that filter. And he said, and when you do that, I mean, you already said it in that other section, you know, we are guiltless. God's son is guiltless. There is no sin. Right. And so the only judgment that can really be made, he said, you know, and then as an extension, he says, what the Holy Spirit, what the inner guide and teacher is always going to tell us is that people are either asking for love or expressing love.
Right.
And you don't have to go through all these shenanigans of deciding why somebody's doing what they're doing. You know, you don't have to understand all the psychology of it, all the sociology of it, whatever the motivation. He said, you know, could you break it down into those simple terms and understand people are asking for love or they're expressing love? And your response is always the same because your response is always love.
Right.
And, you know, I thought once again, that so resonated with me because I know that. I mean, intellectually, I know that. How many times do I say it? But when I'm in an experience with somebody, do I remember that? That no matter what this looks like to me, they're either asking for love or they're expressing love.
Right. And, you know, I mean, the truth is, we don't remember it all the time. That's why we need to be in school. That's why
right.
we need a teacher. You know, that's why we need this course because, as Ken has said so many times, this is not a course for spiritual geniuses. You know?
Right.
This is not for enlightened people. This is a course for people who struggle. You know, who have big egos. We all do, and we find ourselves in conflict all the time. And this is a course that is giving us a practical tool, you know, that we can use anywhere, portable, practical, all 24/7, that where we can change our mind, change our teacher, and again, remember that, you know, change the purpose of our lives. And there's that wonderful section a little bit later on that in this manual about how should the teacher of God spend his day. And, you know, it talks about how we're not at the top of the ladder. And yet, you know, we can structure our lives so that we create in the morning, create an intention that we are in school. You know,
yes.
We're trying to learn something different. We want help with remembering when we find ourselves in conflict that we can pause, you know, and that call for love that you're talking about. If I'm in conflict, it's always my call for love. There's really just one of us. You know, we are the same. At the level in form, it seems like we're very, very different, but in content, we are absolutely the same. We have the same, we all share part of the same ego and part of the same right mind and part of the decision-making mind. And we all, you know, are either expressing love, as you were saying, or calling for love. And it's always really ultimately my call for love I'm recognizing in someone else. You know, if someone else is having a meltdown and I'm reacting to it, where's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? I mean, because the truth is, you know, nothing outside me has the power to take my peace away, peace of mind away, unless I'm willing to throw it away. You know,
right.
I seize that opportunity to throw it away because we are afraid of love, you know, and so we're in a curriculum in a school where we've enrolled in that. That's our commitment to the course. And, you know, now the purpose of our lives becomes meaningful and it's changed to, you know, using all of the things that happen throughout our day and all of our relationships to help us, you know, through that practice of changing our mind in the moment when we're feeling reactive and we're judging, and, you know, recognizing that we need help and opening to that help. In that constant, consistent practice, the guilt that we all carry within over this belief in separation is just being very gently dissolved over seeming time. You know, that's the Holy Spirit's kind use of time, the Course says. And so that's, as you said, it's very, very practical. We can just, you know, we have it available to us at any moment. Can I read another section about that?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'm going mid-paragraph here in paragraph four, but
okay.
He says, why would you choose such an arbitrary basis for decision-making? You know, your own ego, basically, right? The world, form. Wisdom is not judgment. It is the relinquishment of judgment, the world's wisdom. You know, what makes sense and judgment and justice and all of the things that are based on form is not wisdom, it's the relinquishment of, wisdom is not judgment, it is the relinquishment of judgment. So he says, make then but one more judgment. It is this, there is someone with you whose judgment is perfect. He does know all the facts, past, present, and to come. He does know all the effects of his judgment on everyone and everything involved in any way. And he is wholly fair to everyone, for there is no distortion in his perception. Sorry, I don't know how to mute my new equipment.
That's all right.
And therefore, lay judgment down, not with regret, but with a sigh of gratitude. Now are you free of a burden so great that you could merely stagger and fall down beneath it. So, you know, we have within us that teacher, that someone that that paragraph is talking about is Jesus, Holy Spirit, our inner teacher, that's always within us. You know, we're never alone. We're never abandoned to solve a problem by ourselves. The answer is always right there. I mean, the whole purpose of the manual is saying that we're through this process of being in school and this practice of forgiveness, we're growing up to become advanced teachers of God who eventually, you know, the answer is there instantly for us. We start to be tempted by judgment and we laugh, but we're not there yet most of the time. And, you know, we often do find ourselves judging still, and that's okay. But we have a practice, a process for getting back to our right mind. And we have a teacher within us that we can turn to. And it's just that, and what a relief, you know. Lay judgment down. Now you are free of a burden so great that you could merely stagger and fall down beneath it. There's no good answers in the world, CA, as we all know. I mean,
right.
if we're honest, we haven't been honest. We're lying all the time. You know, it's the deliberate deception of the ego to lie and say that the world is going to solve these things. All evidence to the contrary, you know, thrown out the window. Over eons of time, nothing ever gets solved, you know?
Right.
But within there is an answer that's as close as our next breath that we can turn to at any moment, and peace is still there. Innocence is still there, you know, and what a gift. I mean, when we have that shift, that moment in which, you know, our need to fix or change or be otherwise, have something be otherwise, to be okay ourselves, you know, falls away. What a gift to know that we're still loved and held, you know.
Yes.
Even for a moment, even for a nanosecond, to know that the other person and myself are, you know, have a greater purpose that we share. And that we're gonna find our way home. That we're all going home. Nothing can stop us. We get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, and I'm thinking of what Ken said too when he's talking about this section. Is that for most of us, maybe all of us, but for most of us for sure, the only motivation to really lay down judgment is when we really are honest about the cost. And the cost is that sense of separation. Because like even in the beginning, you know, Ken remarks, you know, God's view of the world or God's view is always perfect oneness. And our view is always perfect separation.
Yes.
And so when we see that and when we're really honest with ourselves, you know, we sometimes pat ourselves on the back because, oh, my gosh, we're just so clever. We're so wise. We're so smart. But we're only smart in the ways of the world, which is an insane asylum, as Ken describes it. And so the cost of all this judgment is loneliness. The cost of all this judgment is always a sense of being separated from other people. It doesn't, you know, if we're honest about what it does to us, it doesn't make us feel good. It's that insatiable sense of I need to be right. I need to be right. And it, you know, when we're honest, I mean, that's what he's saying. I'm getting this directly from him. When we're totally honest with ourselves about the cost of spending time judging other people, deciding for other people, thinking that we're right, all it really does is increase our sense of hopelessness. It increases our sense of loneliness, our sense of pain. And there again, I mean, and I think I'm one of those people, I learn that way. When it finally gets too painful, then I'll go, God, there must be another way.
Right. I think we all learn that way. I mean, that's Jesus's, you know, Ken has said many times, and really the Course says all over the place, that Jesus as our teacher, his goal is to get us to see how painful what we're doing is.
Mm-hmm.
And by paying attention to this, you know, and training ourselves, this is the workbook, you know, begins the practice of mind training that we carry with us, you know, as long as it takes afterwards and into our lives. And that is the watching ourselves, you know, watching our minds and our emotions for our reactions and constantly, you know, questioning the cause. It's not because of what's outside there, but the pain is what triggers the questioning, right?
Right.
I mean, we're in conflict and the more we pay attention, in many ways, it does become more painful. That's what gets us to choose more quickly to go back to the right mind. I definitely have found that in my practice of this, that it can be really quite excruciating when I'm judging now. Whereas, you know, when we first come to the Course, we're often, you know, we're aware of the of that, you know, tiny throb of deep loneliness that lesson 182 talks about, and that sense of being an alien here and kind of self-loathing that we all carry. But we're really good at, you know, at being dishonest with ourselves and displacing it onto other people.
Yes.
Instead of looking at it within ourselves. And the Course is getting us over time and gently through this practice to look at it within ourselves, to see where the origin of this is. And that's a painful process. But it results in these shifts to, you know, this tremendous relief that the Course calls holy instants when we have a glimpse of being out, you know, with Jesus above the battleground, outside the fray of all of this dreaming, and we have a you know, a sigh of amused almost relief that it's all going to be okay. It all is okay. Nobody's guilty here. Everybody makes it home. I'm never really alone, you know. And what a gift that mm-hmm. we can have more and more of that. Just through changing the purpose of our lives from a prison of the ego thought system to this classroom of forgiveness, of true forgiveness, of what never was, of a guilt that really is being, you know, being projected all over the place, but is based on nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm reminded of that workbook lesson, Give Me Your Blessing, Holy Son of God.
Mm.
I've always loved that lesson, and you know, and I probably even in discussion with you have said, you know, when I first saw that lesson, I kind of saw it as a curse, you know, or, you know, almost like, you know, approaching every person and saying, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. And I definitely said it with kind of a snideness, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. And the more you think about it or the more you do it, you realize that's it. Every single person, every single interaction is an opportunity to look with our inner guide and teacher at the interferences we are putting to love in our lives.
Right.
And even in this, you know, in this particular portion of the Manual for Teachers, it says, now you make no mistakes. Your guide is sure. And where he came to judge, he comes to bless. Mm-hmm. And now he laughs where he used to come to weep. Once again, the cost of judgment, the cost of maintaining that we're right about the separation, that we're right, that we're different than all these people. There is a hierarchy of illusions. And that cost is what makes us weep, whereas we can laugh. We can literally look at every person and say, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. You are guiltless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's how we're learning that we are guiltless, right? You know, that's, I mean, really, really experiencing that, you know, at first we grasp it intellectually, but through the practice of, you know, consistently applying this in our lives, when we become reactive, we eventually begin to experience that very thing that, you know, they're not guilty and, oh, I'm not guilty. It's almost a simultaneous, but, you know, but the Course's formula is we see the face of Christ, which is the symbol of innocence in our brother. and remember God. You know, remember that we too are innocent. You know, that's because then the duality just melts away, and we, you know, there's that aha, what a relief, you know, and like, who wouldn't want that? You know, it's really what everybody here is desperately in need of, only, you know, looking in all the wrong places for,
right?
Because we're always looking to the world, we're always going back into the dream. Maybe if I just fix or change this, maybe if I work a little harder, maybe if I sign a better contract with these people, or, you know, we negotiate something, or we pass another law, or we get a different elected official, things will be better, you know. And that's not, you know, the Course is saying the external part of this is just, you know, is just a projection of all of the conflict in the mind. And it's never going to stop until you wake up from it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But each time, each decision that we make to allow a different answer to open to that answer of innocence and guiltlessness for all, as you said, it's not a hierarchy. There's no victims and victimizers ultimately. You know, each step that we're willing to take takes us a little bit closer to awakening from this nightmare,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and another reason that I think this really came to my mind in terms of the topic is the other thing that I have noticed, and I'm glad I'm noticing this. I mean, this is where, once again, really looking at my own life, what is coming to me. I felt like almost every conversation I was in, or many, many conversations in maybe November, December, whatever, just started happening, is somebody was always offering advice. I mean, even though it was just a conversation, all of a sudden, the person wanted to tell me how either I should do it or how somebody else should do it. So even if I was talking about somebody else, or, you know, even if we're talking about a politician or whatever it was never just a conversation. It was always, well, they should do this, they should do that. And I started noticing how often I was getting unsolicited advice, either for myself or for somebody else. And it just started ringing. So it was almost funny, because no matter where I looked, somebody wanted to offer a piece of advice. So it really made me look at myself. And of course, I'm in the business of advice as an astrologer and as a psychic reader, but I also like to think of myself as giving the weather report. I prefer to think, hey, I'm just telling you as I see it, and then you get to decide what the course of action is that you want to take. But it really made me stop and think, is that what I'm doing? Every time somebody says something, I'm telling them what to do. And so it really got me to start paying attention to my conversations. And how often am I offering unsolicited advice? And so, I mean, I would offer that to people too. What is it that you're seeing? What is it you're hearing in your conversations? You know, what is it mm-hmm. that's in front of your face? Because as you mentioned, that's exactly what we're working on. You know, we don't have to look very far to just see what are all those things that are coming to us. You know, what's developing? You know, because I think sometimes we want to see it as this big, complex hullabaloo, and it's not really. It's like, what is in front of my face in
Absolutely.
This moment? What is annoying? What is upsetting? What is frustrating? Because, you know, the other thing that it either says in here or Ken is saying is, you know, we always want to know, okay, well, how can we do this? How can we get back? And he said, you don't have to go anywhere. You,
right.
you know, it's like God never left. The voice never left. The inner guide and teacher is always there. You're the one who left. You're the one who's listening to the ego. And just in the same way, I think about this too. Sometimes somebody will tell me something and it just rings so false. And I'll say, well, where did you get that information? And they'll tell me and I'll go, really? Is that your source of credibility? And what, you know, I think we should ask ourselves that too. Where are we getting this information? What voice are we listening to?
Yes.
What author are we listening to? Who is our basis for, you know, for credibility? And I mean, like I said, sometimes I'm just amazed when somebody comes back and says, well, I got it off Facebook, or I got it off, you know, I got mm-hmm. this off internet, or whatever it is. And it's like, but did you actually think about the source? Did you think about the source? And I kind of go back to that statement early on in this conversation. You know, if God is always, if God's view is always perfect oneness and our view is always perfect separation, then whoa, am I going to listen to me? You know,
right.
Where, what else can I give you except a view of separation if that's my view? So the only way to correct that is to go beyond that, to, you know, to once again go back to a source. What is the source of our information, our credibility? And, you know, I think we need to always question that and just, you know, once again, when I think about this section, when I think about some of these concepts in A Course in Miracles, it just makes me breathe easy. Because I just go, oh, shoot, yeah, I don't have to figure all this out. I don't have to carry around this burden of deciding whether you're living your life right, or I don't have to figure it out for you. Maybe you're not broken. Maybe right. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do.
Right. That's absolutely beautifully stated. Yes. And, you know, as this section says, even what passes for wisdom in the world, you know, the right, the just, all of that, the highest ideals, it's still an illusion, you know? And so if we're defending it, whenever we're feeling defensive and in conflict about it in some way or feeling righteous, you know, that we need help then too. I mean, there's nothing in this world, there's no side that you can be on in this world and find peace.
Right. Well, and that I do feel that so psychologically in my life, like I am just always carrying around a burden. Mm-hmm. It's just so heavy. But when I stop and think about it, it's like, let it go. You know, you don't have to be carrying this burden. In fact, I kind of joke on my other show when we're talking about Tarot, one of my favorite cards is the Nine of Swords. And the Nine of Swords in Tarot literally is, you're just making yourself miserable with all these thoughts, you know? and it's guilt. I mean, the Nine of Swords is guilt and it's, you know, all those things, you know, but it's like somebody comes along and go, well, why are you doing that? Why don't you let it go? Why don't you lay it down? What are you carrying that around for? And that's what the Course in Miracles really does for me, is it reminds me, oh, my God, why are you carrying all those judgments? Why are you carrying all those frustrations, those resentments, and just all those decisions about not only how you should live your life, but how everybody else should, too?
Right. I could choose peace instead of this now.
I could choose peace instead of this.
Mm-hmm. And right now, you know, why is this a problem? It's, you know, and that's where we need to sort of focus our attention is right now, you know, like, why is this, you know, I'm usually what that will bring up for us is that we're upset about something. We're brooding about something that happened. Or we're terrified about something that's going to happen. You know? Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, could I choose peace instead of this?
Right.
And I could.
Yeah. Well,
it's
and
there,
I because
it never goes anywhere, as you said. You know,
I want to go back to that idea that it would be wonderful if we really did know everything. But, you know, one of the analogies that I'd say, and I mean, I use this, although who knows where my source is, but just the idea of the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. I can imagine that when a caterpillar crawls into that very tight, dark space that becomes, you know, that is the chrysalis, that maybe that's a painful thing. And maybe there is a point at which a caterpillar says, what was I thinking? But because of that process, it emerges as a butterfly. And if you try, I mean, we could easily go into, oh, let's open this up and let's, you know, release this butterfly. But if you open it up, the caterpillar dies. It will never become the butterfly. And so for us to look at something and judge it, we don't know what somebody, like you said, many times our curriculum, it needs to be exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And when we judge from the outside about what your curriculum is, we're basically saying, I'm right and I know more than you do. I know more than everybody else. And wow, I would love if I could master one thing in this lifetime, if I could just master that idea of, you know what, I don't know everything. And you know, you're not broken. You're guiltless. You know, we're all part of this oneness that God sees us as. And what if I could just let you have your path without interference?
That's all there is to master here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, there's nothing we can play in the dream and, you know, make ourselves miserable in hell, as Ken used to say, as long as we want, or we can start changing the purpose and going in a direction that will bring us to the peace and, you know, and the sense of being truly loved and innocent that we've been seeking forever, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do that, Susan. Let's do that today.
I'm in.
Okay, I'm in too. And, you know, do you have any announcements? Thank you, by the way. Just thank you so much for this conversation today. And do you have any announcements that you'd like to make before we end the show? And by the way, I wanted to ask you a question. I got a notice from the Foundation for A Course in Miracles. And did I read that right, that they are doing their last streaming seminar?
Yes, yes, unfortunately. Yes, it will be. I think you can still sign up for it if you go to the Foundation for A Course in Miracles website, which I think you post in the chat room, maybe. And if people go there and click on the Temecula schedule, I think you can still sign up for streaming of the final class, which I think it's the week after next. But you should sign up now, because I think that I think that they do cut off the enrollment at some point.
They definitely do, because I missed out before when I was too late.
Yeah, so don't miss out. It's going to be a great class. I was out there in November, and it was extraordinary. But yes, they're not going to be doing the classes anymore, unfortunately. So, but all of Ken's materials and the bookstore and the online materials and the CDs and everything on the website is still available. And that part is not, you know, there's nothing going away from the website or what's available there. But unfortunately, the classes are going to be ending. So
that made me very sad.
It's been a great gift for all of us. And hopefully I will continue with this year, with some interviews now and then, I hope, with two of the teachers there, Rosemary Losasso and Jeff Siebert, who I've done interviews with on my website. Along with, you know, I used to interview Ken Wapnick, and there are interviews with Ken and his staff that are available on my website. And I'm hoping to continue doing those interviews with the staff, but we'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for that information. And I did post over on Facebook Susan's website, which is Forays in Forgiveness. That's Forays. InForgiveness.com. I also put the Foundation for A Course in Miracles if anybody's interested in getting materials over there or in signing up for that seminar. So, Susan, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. And I look forward to mastering this curriculum.
I think it's better to just deal with what's in your face.
Well, okay.
And allow mastery to come.
To evolve. Okay.
To evolve.
All right.
That's my approach.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And thanks to Scott for being our producer today. And thanks to everybody who is listening either live or through an encore presentation. And to everybody in the chat room, thanks for those comments. And somebody had actually given a suggestion for a book and maybe somebody to interview on the show. So thanks for that. And you have been listening to the Friday Morning Show with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Susan Dugan, on 1-2 Radio. So keep it tuned here. You can find me on 1-2 Listen. We are changing the way you think about life and spirituality.